Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading for this final Sunday of the church year concludes our reading of the book of 2 Peter. Today we read chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now the second letter that I have written to you. I wrote both of them to stir up your sincere mind with a reminder for you to remember the words spoken earlier by the holy prophets and the command of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First, know this. In the last days, scoffers will come with their mocking, following their own lusts. They will say, "Where is this promised coming of his?" For from the time that our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have from the beginning of creation. You see, what they are intentionally forgetting is that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and that the earth came together out of the water and between the waters. Through these waters, the former world perished when it was flooded with water. And now, by that same word, the heavens and earth have been stored up for fire, since they are being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, as you look forward to these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless and blameless in his sight. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our dear brother Paul wrote to you, according to the wisdom that was given to him. He spoke about these things the same way in all of his letters. There are some matters that are hard to understand in his letters, which the ignorant and unstable distort, as they also do with the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know these things, be on your guard, so that you do not fall from your own firm position by being led astray through the error of the wicked. Instead, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of God. Dear people of God, there are many things that we don't know about the future, about the end of the world, about what awaits us beyond. We don't know what heaven will be like. Oh, I have a lot of crazy thoughts and theories about what heaven will be, but I should probably just keep them to myself because that's all they are, thoughts and theories. Suffice it to say that in heaven we will be with the Lord, and there's nothing better than that. We don't know what will happen to time. I'm fascinated by time. Einstein gave proof that if you could go fast enough and use gravity's pull, you could skip some time. But Einstein's theories have launched a billion books and movies and dreams about people jumping around time, and that's something Einstein did not promise. But I wonder if in heaven we can skip around time. I wonder if in heaven all the great acts of the world will be recorded and shown on a big movie screen. Or maybe in heaven, we just won't care what happened on this little earth. Peter mentions time here in this third chapter of his second book. He said, "For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." This is again one of the great misunderstood passages of the Bible. Peter's talking about God. He's not talking here about creation. That's what some people want to drag into this passage. These are the people who want to marry creation to evolution. They want to put them together and try to please both sides, and they end up pleasing no one. Peter here is talking about how God views things. God does not care what time we think it is. We don't even agree on what year it is. We call this year 2020. But on the Jewish calendar, this is year 5781. On the Chinese calendar, it's year 4718. We don't know what year it is, and God's not telling us because he doesn't really care. The Lord is not bound by our years or our time. The Lord created time for us, as a blessing for us, so that we can all gather here in his house and worship him at the same time. But God doesn't care what time it is. He's not bound by time. It doesn't affect him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day for him. Time has no effect on the Lord. Peter then builds on that idea. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Thank God that he is patient. Otherwise, none of us would have been born, much less saved. No, the Lord's patience is saving more and more people. The people 2,000 years ago, the people of Peter's day, were saying, "Hey, where is this God of yours? Where is this great return you guys keep talking about?" Peter says that he and the other believers were mocked for believing that Jesus would one day return. What about you? You foolish people. You current believers who are still watching the skies, waiting for your Savior to return and to rescue you. You really look like fools in the eyes of the heathen. And yet here you still are, with the same word of God and the same promises that Peter and the ancient believers had, staring up at the sky, waiting for your Savior to come. But Peter assures us, the Lord is not slow. He is patient. He's letting more and more people be born so that more and more people might be saved in Jesus' name. It reminds me of Jesus' parable of the wedding banquet, where the master was having a wedding banquet for his son, and he sent out his servants to bring those in who were invited. But the people who were invited didn't want to come. They even mistreated the heralds who were sent to gather them. And then the master got the servants and he said, "Go out to the roads and gather together everyone." And they found both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. The Lord's patience is filling up heaven with you, the objects of his grace. Which brings us now to our theme for this third chapter of Peter's second book. It's verses 10 and 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, What kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God? There are some things that we just don't know. Things about heaven, things about time, and how God can exist outside of time and age. But there are other things that we can know. Things that the Lord has told us very clearly. Such as, we know that the end is surely coming. The Lord has told us many times, plainly in His Word, as He does here. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat. And the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. That's pretty clear. We know that this end will come, not by man's doing, but by the will and by the Word of God. Peter again tells us that at creation, the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God. And now, by that same word, the heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. God made it all, and God will destroy it all. That's His business. That's His work, and that's His will. We know that the end will involve fire. Peter just said that. But what kind of fire is up for debate? Will the fire of the last day just be a destroying fire, like a man burning up his financial papers? Or will it be a fire of purification, like a jeweler purifying gold with heat? Maybe the great fire at the end purifies the sin out of this earth. And then maybe we're put back on this globe to continue to live in it and enjoy it and never wreck it again with sin. Peter says that we look forward to new heavens and a new earth. Well, maybe that new earth is the old one made new again. That we don't know. But we know that fire will be involved. We know that the end will happen quickly. Again, on that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. I've been thinking about that word roar. It doesn't seem to be the roar of a lion. That doesn't fit the context, really. It doesn't seem to be the roar of trumpets, because trumpets don't roar, trumpets blast. And plus, that's a different passage. The roar here seems to be the roar of a fire. Like a bunch of crumpled up newspapers doused in gasoline. Woo! There it goes. It's pretty quick. We also know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, Peter, Paul, and John all borrow this from Jesus when they all talk about the end of the world. Coming like a thief is a warning to be ready, but it's also a promise that no one will be ready. Because if you're ready, the thief doesn't come. He sneaks in when no one's ready. See, the end of the world will not come with a countdown. It will not come with a correct prediction. It just comes. Boom! That's it. So what kind of people ought you to be? Well, be ready. The end will come like a thief in the night. There will be no warning. There will be no time for a quick conversion. There will be no time for one last Lord's Supper. There will be no time to get your soul straight. We are to constantly be ready now by daily contrition and repentance. We are to be living in faith in Christ so that when He does appear, He comes as our Savior, coming to take us home. Not as that guy that I was going to make things right with later on someday. Now, I can't read anybody's heart. I don't know who's ready and who's not ready. But I can tell you this. If you love Jesus, if you trust Him as your Savior. And if you believe that He is the Son of God and your only hope for salvation and for heaven, then you are ready for Him to come now. What kind of people ought you to be? Be cheerful. Peter says that we look forward to the day of God because we win. We who are on the side of Christ, we who have taken our sins and placed them on Him and on His cross, we win. We will rise with Him and we will reign with Him. Those who live in sin, those who have no time for Christ and His church, those who have no desire for repentance, well, if they don't want Christ here, they don't have to have Him in the hereafter either. It's that simple. You have Christ. Be happy. Let the world worry and whine about things and chase after the things of this world. Have you ever noticed? They are miserable. They may put on a good face, but they are miserable in their pursuits and they are miserable people. Not you. Don't join them in their misery and despair. You are Christians. You are the people of Christ. Look forward to His coming, or as it is also called, the day of your salvation. Why wouldn't you want that to come quickly? What kind of people ought you to be? Be inviting. The fields are ripe and harvest waiting. There still is room in the mansions of our Lord. You have the keys to the pearly gates that were talked about last week in the readings. Use those keys. Open heaven to a relative or a friend by giving them the forgiveness of Christ and the peace of Christ's resurrection. They can have the same joy and confidence as you have in Christ. And the way to share that is to be joyful and to be confident. It will show. And people will want what you have and what the world can't have. Be the people of God that He has called you and that He has made you. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be? Living in holiness and godliness as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.